Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
The people always ask to give you the book title again. At least it looks good from space. Carl Kinsella's book is out now. Hashtag Ireland. That's all the details. 51551 for the text. The two Johnnies are here. How are you, lads?
We have to say it. We're lad.
Lad.
I was enjoying your French two Johnnies stealing the
Le Dujon,
the Royal Goujons there earlier on.
Le Dujon sounds like Goujon, doesn't it?
That's right.
Have you done research on Goujon? Is it do they have them in France? Because it's a very French name.
It sounds a bit French. My father once told me he reckons that there was little fish in the river behind their house called Goujons, and you could batter them. And it could be, it's a bit of a stretch. That could be where
no
they come way. From.
There's no proof, but it's good enough for us.
It's a good story.
If anyone has the answer for that, Goujons and Goujons, Radio 1 listeners.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be
text
on.
Us in.
Hey, I'd be laughing. I know you love that we say lad all the time, but it's the perfect word for atten, really. In terms of, if the French lads, right, if that happened in Ireland, someone who's robbing jewels or something like that, and you heard about it, you just go, ah, lad. It's the perfect phrase for
like, that's how you pull up your friends. If you find out one of your friends is dealing drugs to puppies, whatever, you just go, ah, lad.
There is that phrase, isn't there?
Come on now. Ah, lad.
What if it goes down the tone then? Ah, lad.
That's real bad.
That's very bad.
That's real bad. You probably only use that on a Sunday or something. Something real bad happens.
Also, lads is male and female.
Yes, absolutely.
The perfect word.
Unisex is perfect.
If you know the etymological origin of lad as well, please also get in touch with Goujon. We'll solve everything today. You put out the 400th podcast.
Yes, I'm going.
Some milestone lad. We have to move away from that now.
It's some crack. We started doing the podcast and... we're so thankful to everybody who tunes in every week. It's absolutely brilliant. And our one regret is that we don't have seasons. It has to go out every week.
Yeah,
it's like having
a
herd of cows to milk. It has to be done day in, day out.
It's the longest job I've ever had. We're 7 years full time since I gave up my job. And it's the longest standing job I've ever had. Now I say there's times he wants to sack me.
But when you're travelling, you do miss the odd episode here and there, don't you?
Never.
All right, I thought you get abuse when there's kind of one late. Oh,
there was one late this morning there, yeah. 18 messages when I parked up the car outside, yeah. What's the story, lad?
Week is ruined.
Yeah, one girl said, I can't go to work until I read what's on the podcast, and that keeps me going for the day, and I listen to it on the way home.
Right.
So yeah. So you're part of people's lives, I suppose.
And it's a video podcast now as well.
It's basically a TV show that we're doing ourselves, yeah.
It's great. We went full video on Spotify, and it means we have to try and look our best every week, but we get to do up the studio. We have a great studio down in Care in our hometown down in Tipperary where we collect up every bit of random memorabilia that's anywhere
Irish.
That's
not production design. That is literally stuff that's been sent in that you have.
It is. It's either my father's vinyls or it's Owl Hurleys we found lying around. People send us in. If you want to send us a jersey or a St. Bridget's cross or whatever, your toenail clippings, whatever, it's all considered for the wall, lads.
Because even though it's new because it's video podcast and all that, there's something very retro about it as well, isn't there? There used to be Channel 4 studios smothered and stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were going for, was that madness where it looks like kind of half it could be a rural pub, half it could be your weird aunt's living room.
Yeah, so that could happen.
So that's kind of the vibe we're going for. And I remember we did the Den years ago and just seeing how small and simple that set was.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, hey, take that. We'll run with this. So it's our own den, I suppose, if you will.
But we love it. Like on the podcast, it's all about Irish stuff. It's just getting in them Irish stories and culture and songs and... that's what we love it. Like, it's gas. We had a thread recently about rare Irish festivals and the people of Lyra Campan down in County Kerry with the Dan Paddy Andy Festival.
Oh, right.
And they had their own theme song. It was matchmaking. And all these festivals that we love hearing about and keeping them going.
They're still going. Somewhere.
A lot of them are still going. Yeah, the Kenmare Mouse Race and one. I'm a bit scared of mice myself. I don't know if I'd be going to that one, but it sounds like a good crack from a distance.
The Mouse Race, where's that on?
It's in the pub. You stack the lanes on top of each other in a pub in Kenmare, and one side it'd be say solid timber, it could be OSB or MDF, whatever you're having yourself, Oliver.
Spoken like a true apprentice.
And then on the other side you just get clear perspex, and then they might have an apple or a piece of sugar at the end, and they let off the mice, and you can bet on what mouse is going to win the mouse racing. But you want to be doing it when people are sober, because you don't want the competitors escaping around the bar. But there you go. That's what we love. All this crack on the podcast.
I'd love to know how they get those mice in the first place.
Oh, there's a mouse man. There's Mouse Dan.
Contact the mouse man.
Yeah, Dan the mouse man. Yeah. Down in Kerry. He's the man who gets the mice.
Can't give out his real alias. You know, he moves from town to town. Him and his weird van full of mice.
No one knows what he looks like. Not even him.
A burning van full of mice.
All sorts of things. You know, you could torment people. Suddenly there's just mice everywhere.
He's flat to the boards. That's why he's hard to get a hold of.
It's a bit seasonal though, that job. I wonder what he does the rest of the year.
Ducks, I think.
A huge part of the career, which I think would have surprised people when you were starting out, that it's all around the world. And it's not just the diaspora, is it?
It's funny. Like, we did a tour of America last year.
Yeah.
And there was a guy called Cody, was his name. Classic American. There's probably loads of kids in Ireland call that now. But Cody came and he told us he drove 14 hours to come and see us in Chicago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose our audiences are probably like 70-30 in terms of Irish. There's paddies all over the world.
Yeah.
And then you have 30% of, like, the Aussies like it as well. Because mm-hmm. it's rough and ready. And they're kind of, there's a breed of rednecks in them Aussies as well. So I think they kind of look at us and go, yeah, they'll do for us, mate. And then the Americans are mad into it. Like, they're just...
Because crazy. You were exotic to them.
Well, like...
In the same way that Paul Mescal is hot around the world, you know? Even though we have 500,000 Paul Mescals.
Sorry, every lad down the country is going around wearing them shorts with no pockets in them, wondering what the fuss is about.
They've never seen them before, and they've never heard you before. So this is the kind of the new bit for them.
Sure, being from the country is universal. There's kind of cultures in all the southern states of America, and lads are watching Yellowstone thinking, that's me, I'm John Dutton, you know, just without the denim. And the same in Australia, as Johnny mentions, like people who live out the country, there's something that, a theme that connects us all universally, and kind of been the love for our community, being proud of where you're from and trying to get those stories and those characters up out of the ground. Recently, we interviewed our local gravedigger and Care. He's going to be on the podcast soon.
Great idea. And we're all mini diggers now, though, aren't they, these days?
Well, he's only about 5'3", so he considers himself a mini digger. He's a But he said it stands to him, because if he's down in the hole digging it and the family come along to look at it, they think it's deep enough. But he's only about 5'3". So he saves himself a foot of hardship with every grave he digs. And sure, who's checking? Who's getting out the measuring tape? But he was telling us he went back umpiring a game recently. He's kind of, he says he's gone beyond it now. The sight and the hearing wouldn't be as good as it was. And it was a wet day and a ball came in from a tight angle, flew past him and he couldn't quite see what it was, and the big schmozzle broke out. The goalie was fighting, the full forward was fighting, and the referee ran in and said, right, Jimmy, settle this, what was it? And he said, well, if it wasn't white, it was a pint.
I just left the referee,
and we left him there. Yeah. And so about 2 or 3 weeks beforehand, we had Ed Sheeran on the podcast.
Yeah.
And now we have Jimmy, the local gravedigger. So it's just all good natured crack. And that kind of unites people. There's great stories coming in. We love it.
But you're moving away from politics. You sampled it there last year in the general election.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
When Simon Harris came in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He hasn't been the same since.
No.
It's a shell of a man.
I'm not just saying we're behind his downfall, but we asked him loads of questions. He didn't answer them. Same as every interview.
To be fair, we asked him at one stage, what kind of music do you listen to? Oh, and he said, Wonderwall. But it was great that
in his defence for objectivity in this book, he did stick to the only promise election. He's a fan of Oasis because, of course, he wore the bucket hat.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah,
that's now made him as popular as hailstones at a wedding. But anyway.
Imagine being able to think that we'd get all those people down to Tipperary for an interview.
Yeah, the boys in the co-op next door didn't know what was going on when the motorcade arrived in. A load of Audis popping in.
They were probably scared when they saw the Irish prison van rolling up.
We actually had to close up the gates to try and keep the lads from the co-op out when they realised who it was.
The Minister of... Now, you've got into trouble over this, it seems, the papers, I said. Minister of Justice,
Jim O'Callaghan.
Well,
the papers to be trouble now.
Well, it was not just the papers. It was the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, said the fact that the Irish Prison Service spent 20 grand, was it, paid for a podcast
plus
episode.
Plus VAT.
Which has 1.6 million downloads to date.
Yeah.
We're told, it's reported.
Good value.
So what are you at?
I think it's the best advertising we've ever got.
It was recruitment, was it?
Mm.
Recruitment promotion.
They were trying to reach young men.
They paid for it.
Young men and women from around Ireland.
Now, they could have spent €19,560 on a full-page colour ad in the Irish Independent.
Is that what it is nowadays?
Yeah, there you go. I looked it up before I came in. so they could have spent 20 grand on that. And what young people read that?
Of course, the only reason we know this is because it was the state that they were able to freedom of information.
But hey, it's been great. Every business in the country has been onto us since looking for advertising.
So are we not getting organic? Two Johnny's podcasts are all paid for sponsorship now.
Absolutely.
Come over the fog. Come off the stage now. Of course.
Unfortunately, with the podcast, no one comes and just gives you money.
Yeah. Do you think Jimmy the Gravedigger was paying us to come on the podcast? He's hoping more people will die to want more business, is it?
He can afford 20 grand.
We did it for 18 for Jimmy.
Cash.
He's digging up your garden for you as well, is he?
He's laying down a few petunias, yeah.
Unapologetic. That doesn't go as, like, current affairs shows are always looking for better soundbites than that. But yeah. You don't care.
No.
You don't care, Grant. Will you be doing more stuff for government services, or are you a little bit more now wary of that?
Sure, I don't know. We'll see what happens. We don't have anything in the book at the moment, no.
But they're welcome to join. I think they're
sure. Hey,
they have our number.
The line is open, like.
I'd love to know, did it work for them, the recruitment? Did you hear back from them?
No, but like
signing up to be prison officers.
The great thing about the podcast is if somebody does take out ads like that, they get a full report. Who listened? Where they are? What's the demographic?
What
1.8.
Age
right. Unfortunately, like, do you know, I don't really believe some of the radio figures. So.
That's a door-to-door survey that's done every week except Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. But hey, look, when people advertise with us, at least they get a second belt when you take the mick out of us.
That's where Big Gujon comes in.
Sorry, for people who are wondering, Gujon is the name of my dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you also love Gujons as well?
Ah, I wouldn't be passionate.
Oh, you don't actually?
I do, yeah. It's my favourite part of the chicken. Yeah.
What age is Gujon?
He is 5 next week.
Oh, right.
Yeah. We're having a big party for him.
Big lazy dog.
Big lazy dog. He is. He's gassy. He just thrown down everywhere. But it's great. He walks around the town beside me at night and off the lead. He's just stay with me everywhere we go. And it was funny. All right, last night I was coming home and met this Ukrainian woman, and she had her bull mastiff with her called Kronos. And I said, "Is that after the god of Greek mythology?" And she said, "Yeah. What's your dog's name?" I said, "Gujon."
After the gudgeon.
After you know, the like the chicken. Yeah.
What's your dog called, Smacks?
Ted Hastings. I'm one of those people who get absolutely obsessed by a show. So at the time, it was Line of Duty. So it's just unfortunate that for the dog himself that he arrived, you know, right before the season finale of Line of Duty. Gosh. So Ted Hastings is official on his full document.
Like shouting his catchphrases at that dog.
Yeah, time. I'll tell you, if he arrived now, he'd probably be called John Dutton.
Yeah.
From Yellowstone. So, you know, I guess he's lucky in a way. He's a bit more energetic and has less of a fear of steps than Gujon.
Your PR is impeccable. To go from all the prison service stuff to dogs, I mean, it's just genius.
Unreal. There's nothing we can't do.
Unstoppable.
Yeah.
Right.
The Country Christmas 3 Arena, you can't get a ticket. Gone. Sold out.
We released a couple of production tickets last week.
When
you realise you can scale back the stage a small bit, you can squeeze another few in, rub them in Vaseline, let them in.
100%. We'll be stacking them like crayons in a box. Get them in, lads. Two Johnnies live in the Tree Arena Saturday 13th of December. Like last year, we had Dustin the Turkey, we had Owen Colligan, we had this couple from England who were swingers. They came on stage, they were talking to us. Nathan Carter, he was not involved in the swinging segment, he was in a different segment. Martin McCabe was there, Marty Morrissey was there. We came down from the roof on a wire.
Did you actually speak yourselves in the show? Or
did around 3 minutes at the top.
So the show's about 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
It's mental. And then our summer festival, Pints in the Field.
Yeah, yeah.
That's even crazier. We had the Limerick City Pipe Band. We had the Venga Boys. We had Pat Short. We had Bass Hunter. The Tumbling Paddies came out.
These are annual things now, aren't they?
Every summer we do the Pints in the Field.
You do a show earlier in the day as well, don't you, in places for families and so on?
Well, this weekend we're in Killarney, and on the Bank Holiday Monday we have a children's only show. Well, a kids show.
Right, so the swearing and all that is stripped out.
It's gone.
And the swingers.
And Oliver, it is so much fun to do a show for kids. Like, we still do our characters and come on stage. We get kids up on stage, get them involved in the sketches. It's the most heartwarming, fun thing you've ever do. Any comedians or acts out there, if you can, do a kids show. Because the messages you get afterwards and people saying, my 12-year-old, they're looking at all their friends going to that picnic and stuff, and they feel there's nothing for kids. Like, we came away from the last one walking 10 feet tall, like you just be absolutely buzzing after. The kids are so positive. It's such a fun day.
And it's great. Like, for a lot of them, it's their first ever concert.
Yeah.
And we all remember our first one. Like, mine was Bizone on the counter of Supermax and Ross Grey. I mean, I don't think it was a concert. They were just dancing to a CD player. But
it's just lovely. And most of those kids are now working in Mountjoy Prison, which is Absolutely.
They're still, you know. We've never mentioned the chat show, the reason you're here.
Yes, the late night lock-in.
Isn't the chat show comedy show? Entertainment show? What are you calling it?
Well, it's in a pub and there is chat, but I wouldn't call it a chat show. But it's the best.
Season three.
Yeah.
Finally, you've cupped on and the seasons. Make sure you don't have to do
make sure we're not doing this week.
Every single week.
Yeah, we've got the parish quiz. We've got live stand up. Because it's hard to do stand up on telly, but all the comedians will come on and say, the room is just buzzing. It's mad crack. It's a really
it's a real pub. Yeah. So there's no room for anything.
It's fully operational at the other side.
The bar is open. The shop is open.
The locals insist, do they?
Yes. Yeah.
Where is this pub, by the way?
Screen in County Meath.
In County Meath. Why is it in Meath? It's not a very handy commute.
We didn't agree to it. Before, when we signed the contract, it was in this really small print. You now have to leave Tipperary. So you couldn't find a pub in Tiff big enough for us. So.
But a big thank you to the Swan family who host us there every week when we record. They're absolutely brilliant.
Same place.
Yeah.
And it's recorded week by week, isn't it? It's not not all done and dusted.
Yeah. So
it's like Graham Norton.
In a pub. The pub. Graham Norton, yeah. Let's
smaller budget.
This is the best one. Definitely, we're getting more used to the format to try and do things right, because you're on telly, you can't just take a notion. If you want to talk to someone down the back, a camera has to catch that.
Yeah.
So you're walking the line of staying in the moment to know if something funny happens, you can react to it, but also kind of staying on script. So
somewhat
the cameras
professional,
can get you.
Yeah.
I love the bit on the street when you go to lads live.
Dubber Culchy. Yeah, we can decide if they're Dubber Culchy. In one of the episodes in this series, we're actually doing Irish or Aussie. So we're heading to the streets of Sydney. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to find out if they're...
But it's a link.
Oh, geez, they're not sending us.
Oh, no. The budget, Oliver, we're at Dartset to get us from Tipperary up to me.
It's amazing the Lord team was able to do that.
Yeah. Us personally, we're going to Australia on tour in February and March. If anyone's listening from abroad, lads. Yeah.
But the new show, it's great. And it's real Irish. It's good crack. It brings out the best in everyone. Guests sit up at the bar and they feel loose. Like you're telling a joke. And the fella you're telling it to, the crowd are only 2 feet away from you, standing there with a pint in their hand. You can see the whites people's eyes. The room is just electric. It's mighty crack. And as Neil Delamere described it, you're a diesel crowd. You're from Monaghan, you know the story.
They get touched by that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, there's diesel coming out of the Holy Wells up there.
Where do you find the people with obscure, bizarre and horrifying talents playing spoons behind their back? And
it shouldn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. We put a call
Irish
out.
People.
Yeah, we put a call out on our socials. Because for us, like, we've been lucky that we've been around loads of different pubs all around the country, and when we get a day off, we like to go off and you try and collect these stories. Mm. And you walk into some random rural pub in, like, you know, East Cork somewhere, and there's some lad who's playing the bottles, you know, with two bottles of beer. Like, we were recently down in Clare, we went to Anthony Daly's pub, and there was a lad there who just played the bottles. They had no spoons, so he said two bottles will do. And I thought, like, the big thing, well, I couldn't remember much, but when I woke up the next day, I did remember that there was a lad playing the balls. I wasn't sure if it was a mirage or some sort of fever dream. But that's the kind of madness that is happening in rural pubs all around Ireland. Yeah. So we tried to track him down, but like the mouse man, proved unsuccessful.
Some of the people who come on, like, the talents wouldn't blow you away. Like, if there was just a friend of ours who can stick cans of Red Bull to his face. But it's more an excuse to get him on screen, have a chat with characters. Because Ireland is full of hilarious characters.
It tells us, doesn't it? It tells us about the country that we're in.
Oh, we love it.
The state of it.
But it's a great country.
There's a very nice message in here now. That's a good place and a good note to finish on.
Oh, lovely.
The two Donnies have got me through some dark days. I am 56. I have terminal cancer and their podcast just lift my spirits every single week. They are so genuine. I have treatment today, but I know when I get home, I have their video podcast to make me piddle in my pants, says Brenda.
Oh, my God. Lovely. Thanks a million for that.
There you go.
Mind yourself.
So you do no harm.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But we'll investigate
most of the time.
They're open for sponsorship. And the two Johnnies, it's on Thursday, isn't it?
It is Thursday 9:35, RT2.
On RT2 and on the RT Player, where a lot of people catch it as well. Johnny, safe travels now back down to Tip.
Thanks, Oliver. Thanks a million.
Thanks a million.
Thanks for having us.
We're back. Yeah, back
from the North Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.